Women of Little Lon, Sex Workers in 19th Century Melbourne, written by Barbara Minchinton and read by Fiona McLeod and James Saunders. In the 1830s, Victoria was invaded by a bunch of land-hungry European men with shiploads of cloven-footed animals. Melbourne was part of the Kulin Nation in those days, but the invaders only knew it as Port Phillip. The men came from a place across Bass Strait then known as Van Diemen's Land, now Tasmania, and the ships, carrying mainly sheep, poured through the heads and into Port Phillip Bay, bringing with them more than a few women who were willing to trade sex for money. Just like the men, most of these women were opportunists, responding to the exigencies of life in a frontier environment. But unlike the men, the women had severely limited options for making an independent living. There were few jobs for governesses and none for factory hands, and the population was constantly on the move. While there was always cooking to be done, and washing, and the usual round of domestic and service chores that could be taken up in wooden huts without the benefits of running water or gas stoves, such jobs were physically demanding and as fickle as the men offering them. They only lasted as long as a woman's health was good, and the men remained in town. So when a sailor offered an out-of-work servant woman some money in return for her favours, there were doubtless times when the offer was taken up out of unusual necessity rather than habit. The settlement of the Port Phillip district of the colony of New South Wales was initially illegal, so it policed itself, until the first government representatives arrived late in 1836. It was then subject to the laws of New South Wales, which meant that women selling sex were governed by laws relating to vagrancy. They could be charged with behaving in a riotous or indecent manner, being idle and disorderly, or having no visible lawful means of support. But supplying sex in return for money was not itself defined as an offence. Nevertheless, some citizens were offended. The Port Phillip Patriot and Melbourne Advertiser, published by prominent businessman John Pascoe Faulkner, reported the existence of women of bad habits as early as the 13th of February 1839 and mentioned a house of ill fame on the 24th of April of the same year. Both reports reveal more about early Melbourne than the prevalence of sex workers. The first informs us that a police constable was found guilty of driving two women of bad habits through the town on Sabbath day last and was mulcted 14 days' pay and warned to be more circumspect for the future. We do not know whether his crime was associating with the women in the first place or doing so on the Sabbath, but the advice to be more circumspect was typical of the time and place. Do whatever you like, just don't get caught, was a message that reverberated in Melbourne throughout the 1830s with regard to most things, including prostitution. The second report advises us that two men assigned to Mr. Commissary Howard were found by Constable Smith in a house of ill fame and received the usual modicum of 50 lashes on the naked back. Lashes, you might ask? For visiting a brothel? Victoria, it is often said, was not a penal colony. It never received the boatloads of prisoners that inflicted the convict stain on the reputations of the New South Wales, Van Diemen's Land and Swan River colonies. But here, in John Faulkner's newspaper of 1839, we have a more naked truth. Of course there were convicts in Victoria. They came with the sheep. And with public servants like Assistant Commissary Howard, who looked after the government supply store. They also came with surveyors and with Captain Lonsdale, the police magistrate.